nakaroti nalipyate. Those with the vision of eternity can see that the imperishable soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite contact with the material body, O Arjuna, the soul neither does anything nor is entangled. This is actually a very nice verse for our, I believe, third lecture on the six principles of surrender. It is nice, or let us better say befitting, because in it the transcendental nature of the soul is fully described. Although it is not, I'm already starting. Do you all hear? This is the first thing. Hare Krishna. Let us first make a sound check. Do you all hear? Yeah? Is it loud enough? Glast? It is described in this well, let me better say it like this. Although we generally do not, in material life, we are not aware that we are parts of Krishna, actually. If you think about this, you are an eternal soul. This sentence is so deep and so full of meaning that it is often repeated in the Shastras in always different versions and with different understandings. Although we have the soul has contact with the material body, actually, he is described to be sleeping. He's not active. It's only the body. When you run, when you cry, when you go to the toilet, even when you fall in love, the soul is not active. It's only the body. It's a terrible thing to not be active, although there are so many activities going on. It means that these activities have not much to do with us. They're just, as we described a few lectures ago, time wasters. So, a devotee takes this understanding to adopt the second principle of surrender. What was the second principle of surrender, Admabhi?
To reject everything unfavorable.
Yes, Admabhi Kaje. To reject everything unfavorable for the execution of devotional service. Now, this means that everything which is not conducive, förderlich, let us say, which is opposed to the service of the Lord and the service of Krishna's devotees, that this is not accepted by a devotee of Krishna. Now, let us today discuss a little bit about what is unfavorable for the execution of devotional service. We must know these areas in order to avoid them. First of all, there are three desires in this material world which are very, very strong. And if you know about the three desires and you know how to avoid them, then a long, long put, long, long way has been done. The first desire is the desire for yamaskamaka, for wealth. We think that we can come to a position of to a better position if we possess things like a good Walkman, a good car, a good Birkenstock shoes, nice pen. Nice silk and dhoti like Madan Gopal has. He's a very rich householder. Or silk and zari from Loi Bazaar. Ooh, original quality. This is called desire for wealth. Then, the next is the desire for a wife. And family is also very strong. Moi Jenner and Moi Mush, very big subjects. We came to the border to Serbia, and there were about like 50 cars. They were going boop, 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 and we thought, what is the matter? They all had flowers, you know, and there was an Albanski couple, you know. They were going very enthusiastic, boop, boop, and the police was trying to put them into the other line because they were all on the wrong line. You know, there was no only one, but they were fully convinced this is so important, this marriage, that, you know, even Andrei Milosevic and his laws had to wait. You know, this is very essential. We experience this when we have festivals and we announce a marriage. Ooh, then there's no problem for the conditioned souls to come to the temple. But, you know, if we have any other ceremony, it is more difficult. Danam and not janam means you know, the followers, like family followers. And sundarim means beautiful wife. And kavitam means to be known as someone who knows something. These four things are not desired by a devotee. He understands that this wealth and following and family and what else? Scholarship is just like so much stones which you carry when you want to cross the ocean by swimming. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that a man who wants to cross an ocean with a big opulent turban on the head and big rings with jewels has a very difficult time. To swim. It is not easier, it makes it more difficult. So these material things, they make it more difficult actually to concentrate on spiritual things. Therefore, a devotee rejects them as being unfavorable. Then there is a very nice shloka, what else a devotee rejects. He says, Nayatra Vaikunta Kata Sudhapaga Nasadavu Bhagavatas Tad Ashraya Nayatra Yakyesha Maka Mahotsava Suresha Loko Pina Vai Sasevyatam. See, people in this world are very interested to go to events where some pleasure is taking place. We had, for instance, this Kragujevac follow-up concert, and we were a little bit amazed to see that not as many people came as we expected. And the reason was that in Kragujevac, in that evening, they wanted to find the most beautiful lady of the town. And therefore, this was too strong of a competition to our program. They were all there and howling and whistling for some confused Mataji. And, you know, actually not Mataji, some confused lady, you know, who didn't even know that she's not this bodily machine, you know. So, a devotee does not want to go to such event. He says, wherever there are not the nectarian talks about Krishna, and wherever there are not surrendered devotees, and wherever there is not the festival of chanting the holy name, that place is condemned, even though it may be the Reichsky Planeta, the heavenly planet. A devotee goes away from such festivals. He rejects them as unfavorable for his devotional life. Now it is very interesting. A devotee, even with this understanding that he must come to Krishna consciousness, he rejects even a teacher, a so-called family guru, who cannot deliver him from birth and death. And good example is Bali Maharaj, who even gave up his guru. He rejected his guru, because the guru said, don't surrender to Krishna. Surrender to me only and not Krishna. A devotee even gives up, he says, even a father or mother who cannot deliver the children is not actually qualified to be a father and mother. This is, of course, very dramatic in Serbia, this thing, and I want to go quickly to the next point. So that some people don't throw a bomb on my head. But this is even said. Guru na saschat, svajano na saschat, pita na saschat, janani na saschat. Pita na saschat, not qualified to be a father. If he cannot, namocha yad ya samupeta mrityum, if he cannot deliver those who are dependent on him from the death. See, it is a great problem, this death. It's not something which is just some philosophical, poetical thing. Just imagine our Admabhi. Imagine in 1 hour there would be 10 black men who would take him and to the bank of the Donav River, and then put a gun in his ear, and boom, just shoot a bullet so that it comes out the other ear. This is a problem, you know. We would not be very happy with this. Death will take each one of us, even Bhakta Boshko, who smiles so nice and pleasing. You know, so anyone who plays the role of a teacher or guru or superior or even devata, who cannot help someone get away from this problem, he's not really good. Like, imagine our Admabhi trusts in us and he says, now, Help me, in 1 hour these black men come and take me to the Donau. I mean, if we wouldn't make all endeavors to, you know, bring Admabi to maybe Greece, you know, give him a car or, you know, help him in any way, then we would not be real friends. Isn't it, Admabi? You would be disappointed, you know, giving all my life and then there's this problem and they don't help me. This would be very bad if we would say, no, no, stay here, Admabi, stay here. You know, you would be disappointed. What kind of friends are these? So similarly, those who do not help us to surrender to Krishna, this is not, they are not really qualified. See, you may think this is harsh or heavy, so I want to read a little bit poetry to you, so that you become a little bit cheered up. O Lord, your devotee sees the ocean to be as insignificant as a palmful of water. That's how important he thinks the ocean is. The sun is as important as a glowworm. Glow, glow. Mount Sumeru, that's a mount of solid gold, yet to be found by the adventurers of this world. He thinks this Mount Sumeru as valuable as a little stone. That's all right. A king he thinks to be like a servant. A desire tree he thinks to be like wood. And he sees his own body as a heavy burden to carry around. To carry this body around to the bed, to the toilet, to the WC. The devotee is not interested in these material things. He rejects them. I think in the summertime we have a realization. This body, you know, we bring him into the temple, and then when we come out of the temple we have to change the shirt, isn't it? Then in the morning we wake up and everything is full of water from the sweat. It's a burden, actually. So such a devotee therefore once is so intensely interested in spiritual things that the material world really has no value for him, and also the material association is just painful for him. He says it's better to be in a cage. Cage? Covets. In a covets. Surrounded with fire, with ogon, than to be in the association of non-devotees. He just, so painful for him to engage in these material subjects. Politics. Even Nitai Chant, son of a big general or army doctor, has given up newspaper reading a few months ago, isn't it? Or 1 year ago, before initiation. Yeah, 1 year ago, Nitai Chant stopped newspaper reading. This is a great wonder. Devotee doesn't want to have association with these materialistic people, because in the association of these materialistic people his devotion to Krishna is stolen. It's just like if you have association with prostitutes and then you want to take out your dinars and buy a ticket, you know. Where is my Dina? My Dinas are gone. This is what happens in the association of non-devotees. Our devotion to Krishna is just thrown away. There are six principles which are unfavorable for the execution of devotional service, and I want to go on to those six principles. Do you know about these principles? I want to open up the discussion a little bit. What is unfavorable to the execution of devotional service? David. And the, you want to think a little bit? Any other thing? Atyahara. What is this?
It means to eat too much or to take so much things.
Yes. If you either eat too much or take too much things, this is called Atyahara, and it is not good for devotional service. Yes?
Association with bad people.
Yes. Eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required, that's the first principle. Second, over endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. Three, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters, this prajalpa. Four, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Five, association with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness and being greedy for mundane achievements. You can read this in the second verse of the Sri Upadeshamrita. Let me see. Come just to the end. There's another thing. I mean, this is all, I'm talking more or less to devotees, so I will just jump over a few things. Yes. When you go before the deity, it's very important that you understand that the deity is Chinmaya, and that means made from the eternal spiritual energy. Never think that the deity is made out of brass. It is a form like so many forms are here in this material world. You must know that the deity appears before you kindly in the form of the bhojanstha on the altar, but he is not actually a material thing. The Muslims came in India towards the temple and broke deities, and they thought in this way they had broken God, the Hindu God. They actually did not understand that the deity of the Lord is purely transcendental. There are very nice leelas concerning the deities of the Lord. One time, there was a great devotee who had, who worshipped Krishna. So he had to go on a journey for 2 weeks. He was not able to worship Krishna, and he gave the deity, the worship of the deity, to the pujaris. Usually he would do the deity worship himself. So when the devotee returned, he looked at the deity and he saw how mucus was coming and tears were coming from the eyes of the deity. And he thought, oh no, what's wrong? Krishna has a cold. And he went to the pujaris and said, don't you see Krishna has a cold? No, said the pujaris, we don't see that Krishna has a cold. This is the winter season. What have you given him to eat for food? Or said the pujaris, sabji, rice. Rice? You cannot give rice in the winter. This makes the body cool. You must give roti and chapati. And what spices have you used? This and that, they said. Ginger must be used in the winter, which keeps the body hot. And pepper. And he came, the devotee came again before the deities, and Krishna was just, you know. The devotee just fell down in the obeisance that, my dear Lord, I had to make this journey, I could not worship you. And he ran into the kitchen and made a brahmastra for the deity. Brahmastra is for to get the body hot. So, we may not be able to experience Krishna in the form of the deity. And come every morning with covered eyes before the altar. But there's something going on the altar. Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda are actually performing their divine pastimes on the altar. And if we train our eyes a little bit to look with the eye of devotion, we will be actually able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead like that. When we go before the deity, it's good if we pray a prayer. My dear Lord, please give me the strength to serve you. Then we must be very careful. The next thing is, we must be very careful to not consider the spiritual master ordinary men, like Mr. What is it? Müller or Mr. Meyer or Mr. Schmidt. Even though sometimes it is not possible for us to understand the activities of a spiritual master, we should nevertheless never consider him to be an ordinary man. Then we should not make the mistake to think that Vaishnavas are ordinary people. Sometimes the Vaishnavas behave in a way which remind us of ordinary people. But it is actually offensive to think that they are belonging to a certain caste, to a race, and so on. Then we should not consider the Charinamrita, this is the bathing water of the Lord, to be material. We shouldn't consider the holy name and the mantra, which vanquishes or which destroys all the sins, to be common sound vibration. These things must be given up. So, a devotee who wants to attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't mind if he has to take another birth. But he is very much against a birth where he forgets Krishna. A devotee does not want to take birth, of course, but he says to the Lord, my dear Lord, if I have to take birth because of my material activities, then let me take birth at least in the house of a devotee. I don't want to be born even as a Lord Brahma on the higher planets, on the Raiski planet, the leader of the devatas. He's not interested. He says, if I have to be born, better I be born as a insect. He's not interested. He says, if I have to be born, better I be born as a insect. Insect, how do you say? Insecten.
Same.
Oh. As an insect, in the house of a devotee, but not in the house, not as a non-devotee Brahman. He doesn't even want to be born as Michael Jackson. I mean, some modern verse, you know. And a devotee does not also want to be liberated from material existence. You know, where the devotee just goes into Brahman. Some of us, I think, Madan Gopal, you were a Hatha Yogi. Did you want to go into Brahman? No, just a healthy body. Good digestion. Yeah. So, a devotee does not want to be liberation. There is a nice discussion between a devotee and the personification of liberation. Who are you? Asked the devotee. It is I, Mukti. Yasam Mukti. Why have you suddenly come here? Asked the devotee. Oh, my dear devotee, because you are always absorbed in the thought of Sri Krishna, I have been given the chance to become your servant. You know that liberation serves the devotee. Devotee is liberated from material existence. So the devotee says to Moksha, keep a little distance from me. Don't come too close. Oh, why are you so harsh, so heavy? With an innocent person like me? Asked Moksha. Ah, said the devotees, just by the mention of your name, my Gopi Chandan Tilak, which adorns my body, and which represents that I am a devotee of the Lord, it will go away from my forehead. Just if I hear Moksha. Because moksha means, you know, everything goes away. Your identity, and of course also your tilak goes away. Everything. I think I'm the only one who enjoys this verse, but it's very nice. Yes, so these are some of the things which a devotee should reject on his way to the eternal spiritual world. In Vaishnav Achar, Vaishnav Achar means the activity of a Vaishnava. There are always rules, things which you can do or which you are supposed to do, and then other things which you are not supposed to do. So I want to recommend use something, my dear devotees, which is very, very effective for your own practice of Krishna consciousness. We have made very good experiences with this little tip. There are two verses in the Nectar of Instructions. It's verse 2 and verse 3. And in these two verses actually summarize what we have discussed to this morning and this evening. They summarize what has to be done in devotional service and what has to be given up. So if you just feel that you want to surrender more to Krishna and become more Krishna conscious, then just write down these verses for you. Just make it easy. Six principles which are favorable for devotional service, and then you write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then six principles which are unfavorable for devotional service. And if you read them every day, every morning, they can help you very much in your advancement in Krishna consciousness. This is very helpful, actually. These things we take, we read in the Bhakta program, and if we can just remember them during the day, it will be very nice for us to be advanced in Krishna consciousness. So you all look a little umarang this evening. It's getting a little hot, I think, for most of you. What can we do? I mean, it's in the morning you were such a nice audience, but today... Maybe tomorrow we can speak with Madana Radia, but maybe it's possible to go into the preaching room and give the class there, because it's really, those who have a weak heart, for them it's not so good. It's like sitting too long in the sauna. But if you do have any questions, I can also answer in a very lively way, so that you can, it's easier for you to listen. I think there was a question from this morning. Yes, our Mataji has. You have to say also your question in the Serbian language. Glass. When you realize Krishna's pastimes, you have come to the state of bhava and prema. And these are very high states in devotional service, from which it is not possible to fall. The holy name might reveal some of his glories at a lower stage in devotional service, and therefore it is possible. This brings up a very interesting discussion. The point which I want to raise is that even at relative high stages of devotional service, still sinful thoughts and desires can remain there and in the form of traces. Was ist traces? What is traces, Srinivas?
Dragovi.
Dragovi.
Tarago.
No, this is not possible to say. Traces are there. It's just like, please imagine if we have a kerosene lamp in the room. Then even if you take the kerosene lamp out of the room, there's still the smell, of kerosene lamp. So that's even when you are when you are more advanced, it can be there that there is a smell of anatta. That means desires for wealth, desires for, sense gratification in many forms. So therefore, Maharaji, are you with us? You're writing. So therefore, it is possible to even fall when you have heard about the when you have realized something about the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because even anattas, anattas means these undesirable things, are still present in the form of the traces, like the smell of the kerosene lamp. I think that's a very easy example. The kerosene lamp is no longer there. In other words, the strong material desires are no longer there when you realize Krishna's holy name. But there are still these traces in the air. So this means in a positive way, do not become shocked if sometimes you see some glupost in your mind. Do not become overly shocked. It's natural. Beware great sinners. Good. Molim.
Maja ubaci u naš na nivou stvari početne svjesnosti, na nivou početka. Ono je problem. Često se Maja ubacuje u naš entuzijazam. Međutim, kada se desi da ona pobedi, naš život postaje nepodnošljiv zapravo. Dakle, se mi vrlo brzo moramo vratiti na početni entuzijazam. Pa me zanima taj mehanizam koji se sada otkriva ponovno.
Let us first have one pitanje, and then the second.
Kako možemo shvatiti personificirani strah, greh ili samadhi, koji se često spominju u Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So we need a translation. Becky. Oh, you were spacing out. So who was? You, Anavi.
The first question. He asked. He said, when we start to practice in Krishna consciousness, that very often. Maya came enter in our enthusiasm, and then the state become very difficult, impossible practically. So he asked about mechanism.
Mechanism
about it.
It is in the beginning states of spiritual life. It is like this: if you come closer to Krishna consciousness, then you also see Maya as stronger. Sometimes, for instance, devotees experience that when they before they came to Krishna consciousness, they had no strong sexual desires. Then all of a sudden they are in the temple and there's so much jelly, you know, it seems like the whole head is full of desires. So they think, what's wrong here? The process doesn't work. I'm not becoming detached, I'm becoming more attached. Well, here it is like this. When you were in material life, you were so down. You didn't even recognize that you were down. You were so black that you didn't even see the blackness. But in devotional service, you're becoming a little bit pure and sensitive. All of a sudden you see, wow, here's something wrong with me. In material life, everything was wrong, so there was no contrast. And you couldn't... you know what I want to say? When... when there is contrast, you see something. Let us see, for instance, this shirt is so nice, isn't it? So clean. But here, it's a little dirty. See? Usually you wouldn't see it, but because everything else is so clean, it just looks... Anyway, I know what it is. It's cherry compote. you know, you immediately see it. So in the same way, in devotional service, you clean your heart, and you see for the first time the dirt. You understand? It's the example which Prabhupada gave is, when you turn towards the light, then you see the shadow more strong. So, don't be discouraged. With one kick of the left foot, Krishna can kick out all the maya from your sritsa. Maya cinema was on as soon as I changed Hare Krishna, and I thought, what's the matter? Is here some evil spirit who takes possession of me when I chant? No, it's just the process of cleaning is going on. So what is the drugi, Bitanya?
Second question. He said that on a lot of places in Srimad Bhagavatam he finds it is mentioned that they are personified dead and personified samadhi and fear also. So
fear.
So he asked about that. About
These different there are different devatas which exist on higher levels than we. For instance, we are present only in one place, like 50 centimeters times 50 centimeters. But devatas can be present wherever there is water. Varuna, for instance, is in your body where there is water, and in many bodies, and in all bodies of waters, in fact. Therefore, it is not good to go naked into a river, because you're showing your private parts to Varuna. That's not gentlemanly. So, there are many devatas of many, of not only of water, but of fear. I don't know who's the devata for fear or the personality of fear. I only know that he goes away when one chants, and that's enough. Good. Any other last question? Thank you very much. Hvala, hvalam puram. Any other last question which we have here? Milutin. Very nice name, Milutin. Low person in Stopolina.
That in Bhagavad Gita and the other scriptures we often find the lotus feet of the Lord. So he asked, what does it mean?
What does it mean?
Okay, but he asked also, what does it mean to turn the our head to the lotus feet?
See, the lotus is very fragrant, and it is also a flower which grows in the water, but also above the water. So Krishna's transcendental lotus feet, or Krishna, is always above the material existence. That's why devotees say he has lotus feet. Much different from our feet, which are always standing fully in the ocean of material existence. We are with two feet in material existence. Krishna is always transcendental to the material existence. Now another, now to turn our heads towards the lotus feet of Krishna, it means actually to take on a very humble service attitude to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Feet in this world are seen as something very low. You know, if you put your head on the feet of some ordinary person, this is just a very unusual. It's just such a, I mean, it's a very, I don't even, yes, you can only say hachi to this, you know. But the devotee takes on a very surrendered attitude, and therefore it is said he touches with his head the lotus feet of the Lord. This means the utmost sign of surrender. Like we have the example of Sanatana Goswami, who said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after Mahaprabhu had instructed him, "My dear Lord, please now put your lotus feet on my head, so that everything what you have told me becomes realized inside my head." That's Sanatana Goswami. Nice, isn't it? So we want to end here. Thank you very much. Tomorrow morning, please be a little bit more enthusiastic. Srila Prabhupada ki.